Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program and author of the Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Thankful Thursday, December 8th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. I mean from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do if you're listening live right now is scroll down a little bit on your computer screen. Chat room's automatically opened up. You're in there. You just might just be in there as a guest. We'd love for you to take a moment to register. Click on the register button there below the chat room. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name like the rest of us. Then you won't be in there like a guest. You'll be one of the homies there in the chat room. So come on and register and come and join the fun. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Since 1921, Strombergs has been a family-owned and operated business, providing quality poultry and poultry supplies to their customers. Today, the Stromberg family offers over 200 different breeds of poultry, including chickens, waterfowl, and game birds. They also offer poultry supplies for the beginner or advanced poultry keeper. Stromberg's should be on the top of your list when it comes time to order. Shop online at www.strombergschickens.com or call today at 1-800-720-1134. Remember, that's strombergschickens.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do. Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, where we've given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet and chicken prizes. And boy, did we have fun yesterday on our Facebook page. Yesterday evening, we had a blast. We gave away really a lot of prizes. We had a lot of Facebook fan contests, and we really had a lot of fun. So if you haven't already, become a fan on Facebook and just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. We had a hoot last night. And today, same thing, posting some good chickens in the news as well as our question of the day. Today's question of the day on our Facebook page is, what type of bedding do you use in your coop? And we've already gotten about 60 responses, so you can scroll through those and see what other people are doing in their coops around the world. So it is Thankful Thursday. I was trying to think of a catchy catchphrase there for Thursday. We've had Marvelous Monday, Terrific Tuesday, Wonderful Wednesday, and Thankful Thursday. Jen over here said, thankful. Yeah, we're thankful because tomorrow's Friday. Tomorrow's Fun Friday. Yes, it is. But there's a lot of things to be thankful about. I'm thankful for all of you, wonderful, wonderful fans, friends, listeners out there in Radio Land and that follow us on Facebook and the whole nine yards. We're so glad you join us every day, Monday through Friday at 12 noon here. And I've met a lot of great friends on the Chicken Whisperer tour throughout the years, and we're approaching our third year of broadcasting. And And we probably right now have more sponsors than we ever have. They're great folks. They trust in you, the listener, and believe in Backyard Poultry and this program. So all the prizes, all the coops come from our sponsors. And speaking of contests, we're right smack dab in the middle of our December chicken coop contest, giving away another, yet another chicken coop to our great listeners. And whether you listen live, listen to the archive, listen on Facebook, or participate on Facebook or Twitter, you are eligible because all you have to do is collect the passwords. And you can do that on Twitter, on Facebook, or the radio show. So you don't necessarily have to listen live every day or catch the archive, but you will have to be listening live for about an hour and a half, and normally we have the contest, you longtime listeners know, towards the end of the show, from middle to about three quarters. So the way that works, if you're just now joining us, yes, we're giving away another chicken coop from our good friends over at mypetchicken.com. And we started it on Thursday, December the 1st, and the last password will be issued on Wednesday, December the 21st, and then we'll give the coop away on Thursday, December 22nd. So that day, December 22nd, Thursday, we'll give the coop away. You have to be the correct caller on that day and then recite all the secret passwords, and you will win that awesome coop valued at $400 plus shipping, which could be as much as $250, so possibly a $650 value for this contest. We'll take a leave there in January, but we will have another chicken coop contest in February. Another chicken coop contest. We'll be giving another coop away in February, continuing to give away coops like they're candy right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. All righty. It is now time to introduce my compost queen herself, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisper. Yeah, it's Thrilling Thursday. That's what it is for me here. It's Thrilling Thursday. So, how are you doing today, Whisper? You sounded pretty perky.
Yeah, I'm having a good day so far. Up early, it was a little nippy out there this morning, and
yeah.
Had to go and pick up the dogs at the vet, so I got that done this morning, and a couple of other errands. And I got back and getting ready for the show. I've had a real good fun time with all my fans on Facebook this morning. And we're going to have to make a trip into the big town later this afternoon. We need a few things from the grocery store. And as much as I hate to say it, Wally World. Yeah, I know. That's so bad. But hey, you know, if there was a mom and pop, then I would, you know, y'all know me, more than happy to shop at a mom and pop if I could find what I needed there. I got to make a trip into the big city a little bit later. But also while we're there, the local ham radio club there in Americus is having a supper tonight. I think it's their Christmas supper. So I'm looking forward to that, taking the family and breaking bread with some hopefully new friends since I've kind of gotten into this little hobby of ham radio. It's pretty interesting how it all works. A lot of it's still over my head, but still pretty fun. So got a fun day hopefully in front of us. But I do. It's a bittersweet day. I believe it was yesterday where a good friend of mine up in the Atlanta area, she had posted a picture of a sign, and it just said, "Closed due to death in the family." And I looked behind the sign. It was kind of dark. It was in the evening. It looked like a place. Well, it looked like North Fulton Feed and Seed, North Fulton Feed and Seed there in the Alpharetta area, where I for literally years, bought my feed and lots of supplies for our backyard flock and our goats and our garden and everything. And I was a little concerned closed until further notice. And I asked if she had any idea what was going on or who it was or whatnot. And she did not at the time. Well, today she had posted on her Facebook page that she was very sad to announce that, this is amazing because he was such a young man, Wade, the owner. Jen was looking over here surprised. I couldn't believe it. Wade, the owner of a North Fulton Feed and Seed, passed away. I don't have the details if it was a massive heart attack or what it was, car wreck. I had
wow.
No clue. No clue. But so it's a bittersweet day because I did a lot of business with them. We know each other by, again, first name basis, and and a young guy too. It's just but so a little bittersweet. So thankful Thursday kind of is thankful, but at the same time a little bittersweet to hear that news. So maybe I'll get more details about what happened, but again, a young man, who great person, taken away too soon. So, but we will keep drudging through, and hope everybody enjoys the show today. We do have a great guest, as always. I have to admit, one of my favorite shows that we have here on the radio show. They're all awesome, in my opinion. But one of my favorites is the second and fourth Thursday of every month when we welcome Richard Freudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Why? Because the topics are so awesome, and there's just so many of them, and we break away from chickens and talk about really homesteading and preparedness and all kinds of great back home type topics. And today we've got a good one. 'Tis the season, and I know some parts of the country, I was talking to Richard this morning, it's a little late, but in many parts of the country it is right, perfect timing, planting trees, specifically planting trees in the fall. So we're going to talk all about the topic planting trees today and why fall seems to be the best time to do it. And so we've got that topic today. So as always, pull out that spiral notebook you've got that's got CW
that's right.
on the and start taking lots of notes, because on the second and fourth Thursday when he joins us, you're for sure going to fill up that notebook with all kinds of great information. Speaking of great information and the diversity of our topics here on the show, I want to read you something that somebody on Facebook posted about the show. Pat, you'll appreciate this. Let me see if I can find it here. Here it is, right here. Frizzled Farm, Heather, she said she's been so busy, but now that it's winter, she'll be inside a little bit more often and can listen, but she's a long-time listener. She posted something on her Facebook. Let me see when it was. It was yesterday evening, and she put, are you a fan of the Chicken Whisperer yet? Yes, he is having another great giveaway, one perk of being a fan, but I'm also here to share with you that it's not just poultry. I personally have learned a lot from his shows. His guests are usually pretty amazing. Topics that have really interesting greenhouse, gardening, composting, self-sufficient, homesteading, heritage breeds, heritage cooking, food preservation, yes, poultry. And I don't think anyone can argue that we could all benefit from listening to some of these shows. And how cool is that? And then she put on, I used to listen a lot, but spring came and I was outdoors all day long, hoping to get back on track of listening in. It was a lot of fun, and you really do learn so much. I was so busy scribbling notes half the time or going, huh, wow, never thought about that. I didn't know that. Gosh, I'd really like to try that. And was able to even learn more about bees and maple tapping and guinea hogs. And seriously, he might be the Chicken Whisperer, but the topics are huge. So what a great comment from Frizzled Farm, and they're on Facebook as well. So just want to take a moment to say thank you very much for that. And that pretty much sums it up. We're not all about chickens here, and because it would be, there's a lot of information about chickens, but to have a radio show and everybody, by popular demand, wanted to show every day, we wanted to make everybody happy, so we did that. But that means we had to broaden it from just chickens. So I'd say we're probably 60% chickens, 40% sustainable living, and I think our whole lineup of guests actually prove that. So thank you very much for those nice comments. And again, you can follow us facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. So Pat, what's in store for you today on your West Coast book tour?
Oh, well, thanks for asking, Whisper. I have a day off today. This is the first since Thanksgiving. So I think I'm staying with David and Janice Prethoff. They have a wonderful, wonderful house here. There's a big backyard. Oprah Henfrey's out just pecking away and grazing and having a super time. Their dog is fascinated, just keeps looking out the window and they'll meet here pretty soon. So you know what I think I'm going to do today, Whisper? They offered me to have a bike, and I think I'm going to bike down to the beach and just go along that ocean bike trail and just get a little sun and the surf and the sand, and who knows what else I'll see down there. So that's I think, what I'm going to be doing today. So how cool is that?
So you have a day off, and yet you're here. So you should be over there hanging out on the beach with your shades on.
Watching the BBAs, the big boys, go by, you know.
See
how loyal I am, Whisper, here on my day off. We're here
with
the Chicken
Whisper.
Your
day
concept.
Off, and you've joined us here, Richard Frudenberger. I'm telling you, you should actually take Oprah Winfrey over to the beach and boy, talk about a babe magnet there. You just, guys.
Yeah. Dogs, he's a chick magnet.
Yeah,
a true one.
Dogs, men take their dogs to the park to try to attract young ladies, and you could take Oprah Winfrey over to the beach to try to attract all the hunks over towards your way.
Who knows what I would meet. Well, we did take her to the beach with Whisper when I was with Christine Heinrichs, who comes on our show regularly from the Society for the Protection of Poultry Antiquities. She took me down to do whale watching. And I told you about that, but what I didn't tell you is we took Oprah out, and she was sitting there on my arm, and we got pictures of the signs about the elephant whales and how they're beached up and with the ocean in the background. So Oprah has been on the beach. She touched her little feet in the Pacific Ocean. She's boldly going where no hen has gone before, I must say. And she's having a great time. She's getting to be pretty independent because she used to be really nervous if I let her out. She goes, where's everybody else? Now she's just wandering around kind of checking things out. So she's doing the chicken lib thing on many levels, hen free, H-E-N-F-R-E-E. She's not only finding herself freer, but she's helping to liberate chickens into backyards where they can enable local agriculture. That's her tagline, and she's sticking with it.
Oh, so, man.
We're having so much fun.
That is awesome. That sounds like a blast. Be careful. She's going to get too liberated, and the next thing you know, she'll be out getting tattoos and piercings, and she'll want to leave home and just be careful.
Yeah, well, that only happens when they get to be a teenager.
Okay.
I talked with Christine, and Christine would like to have her. I can't travel with her back to over to New Mexico and Arizona and then back to the U.S., so I'm going to see if I can't make arrangements for Oprah Winfrey and Christine to match up, because, Christine does quite a few chicken talks, too. She could take her out and use her as a co-presenter the way I'm doing. But, things are great. Day off. I had a wonderful breakfast. I'm staying with the family, David and Janice, our Weston A. Price Foundation members, and had a wonderful, incredible food. I mean, I feel so nourished. It's just really walking their talk. So real butter, including real butter this morning. I was at a restaurant yesterday, so the Black Bear Diner, and they brought some butter, and I knew it was the corn-based or the canola, the margarine kind of stuff. So I asked the waitress, could I get some real butter, please? And she brought back exactly the same thing. So sometimes it's hard to get real butter on the road. Anyway.
It is. I agree. You go into a restaurant and you just look down and you're like, margarine, what in the world, so few use real butter anymore. You're right. It's just kind of like,
you gotta request it.
And then you have that little packet of jam and you turn it to on the back, and the number one ingredient is high fructose corn syrup and then flavoring. So it's like,
Oh, dear.
I was just over at coming back over from Facebook, and I'm just going to read you a comment. And I thought it was, I'm a non-drinker. Pretty much have always been a non-drinker. Jen's a non-drinker, but I thought this was kind of cute. Someone had put on their page, "Bah humbug, that's exactly how I feel about Christmas this year. I've purchased one gift so far, no tree or decorations, just kind of really hard to get into the Christmas spirit." And one of her friends on Facebook put, "You're about to be visited by three spirits." and wait a minute, here's the best part. And under that I put Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, and Johnny Walker.
Oh dear.
three three spirits that will help you forget all your troubles.
Oh, that's funny.
You're about to get visited by three spirits, Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, and Johnny Walker. And then, of course, they put, nah, I think I need the other three spirits. Those three make my head hurt.
Yeah, they're like Woodward headaches, aren't they?
But I thought that was funny. When, I don't know why, as a non-drinker, that popped into my head about you're about to be visited by three spirits and Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, and Johnny Walker. Oh, you got to love it. Yeah, Dragonfly says, yeah, rum, tequila, and bourbon.
Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah, well, tis the season. You know, it's interesting, too. We might want to do this on one of the shows next week, but just have a discussion about holiday vices. What are the vices? Usually it's food and spirits, and then what do you do to overcome those? I mean, there are some amazing stories, dinner conversations we've had about for me, it's the homemade cookies. Something about those homemade gingerbread or homemade cookies, I just can't not leave them alone.
Hey. Speaking of that, what about like when you go to the Christmas parties and somebody has always made, it's like a kind of like it's a sugar cookie or a shortbread cookie, and then they set a Hershey Kiss right down in the center of it, and oh my gosh, everybody knows what everybody who's ever been to any kind of Christmas party knows. You go and there's that, it's either a sugar cookie or kind of a shortbread cookie, and then you just slide it right as they come out of the oven. I guess you just press down.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh my gosh, gotta love that. So
freshly baked pies, the real pies with the crust made out of real lard, you know, homemade crust, and they just
Definitely
that's hard for me to walk away from.
Definitely some good bakers that come out of the woodwork around Christmas time. You go to those parties and someone's already bring those homemade goodies. And speaking of pie, I made a homemade. It was a, I don't know if I haven't said it on the radio the next day, but a iron skillet apple pie. It was delicious, and I'll admit, I did not cut the apples. I did not make the crust. If someone actually cut the apples and added sugar and cinnamon and all that and then made the crust, I can't imagine how awesome it would be. I would probably just keel over dead. So I totally cheated, totally cheated. I got this two pre-made kind of sheets of round pie crust, and yes, I did get canned apple filling, which of course is high fructose corn syrup. Yes, bad Andy. I hold myself accountable. But I was cheating, but I wanted to make it that night for when we opened Christmas gifts with my good friend and farmhand Philip. But iron skillet, kind of formed the crust in the bottom of the skillet. Two cans of that apple pie filling, and then put the other crust right over it, and then made some slits, baked it. Man, it was, and I did add a little organic sugar to the top and a little cinnamon to the top, and
cinnamon.
So it was simple, and it was cheating. But I just can't imagine if I had, you know, to cut the apples, and it would have been even 10 times better than it already was. But I'm going to try to do we're going to the store tonight, so I may pick up the ingredients. A cast iron skillet pot pie, kind of do the same thing. I am not a baker. I cannot cornbread. Award-winning. Biscuits, forget. Forget biscuits. So I can tell you right now, I cannot make my own pie crust. But I'm going to do the iron skillet chicken pot pie and try to do that maybe this weekend and make it just like I did the apple pie, but with pot pie. And I also want to get some pie crust that I can, maybe mini miniature ones that I can freeze, mini pot pies. Me and Jen were thinking about what could we make to put in the freezer with our soup and our beans and our chili and things, and mini pot pies I could make and throw in the freezer as well. So that may have to I may have to try to see if I can find some smaller pie crust. Those tiny little pie crusts are too small for a pot pie, but we'll just have to see. So,
not that hard to make them, really. Pie crust is one of the easier things you can make, and cost effectively too. So that
yeah,
just,
these days,
and it's fun.
Have to do it, yeah, and fun, yeah, is something the family could do. We could definitely do that. But so yeah, we were talking about Christmas things and Christmas goodies at Christmas parties you go to, and there's little plates of stuff all out, and we talked about those Hershey Kiss cookies, and how about the little warm sausage and cheese balls? You know, they can make. I'm talking about they're real small, about the size of a quarter, and it's got the sausage and the cheese and all rolled up into a little ball and baked nice and warm. Those are good. Are the tiny little quiche? You know, the little tiny little quiche. That, and I know those, a lot of times you can buy those frozen, but and then just warm them up. But those are often at Christmas parties. I'm trying to think of some other classics. Jen, what are some other classic little goodies that you see at the Christmas parties?
Well, you're leaving out chocolate. You haven't even mentioned except the Kiss, all those various chocolate dishes.
Oh, how about
chocolate mousse and flan and not chocolate flan, but all those chocolate dipped strawberries. I mean, they just load them on there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, Pat. I was listening to you, but I was listening to Jen at the same time. How about the homemade fudge? My grandma had homemade. Mm-hmm. But ready for this, Pat? You'll remember this. How about, what was her name, Jen? It was Kerr. Anita Kerr? Anita Kerr? Remember the black bean fudge, Pat?
Oh, I remember you made that.
I did. Oh, gosh.
That brings back memories, doesn't it?
Black bean fudge. And let me tell you, people out there that don't remember it was absolutely awesome. And I made two things that she had on that show for Holiday Yummies. And it was black bean fudge, literally made mm-hmm. with canned black beans. And let me tell you, it was a hit. Everybody loved it, but made with black beans. So it was, and let me tell you, people are going, what? No, black bean fudge. It was delicious, trust me. Okay, and then another very, very, very simple little thing that Jen and I made as well, which was delicious, was mini cheesecakes. Mini cheesecakes. You
ooh,
get the little mini kind of like little cupcake things, little mini mm-hmm. cupcake paper cup things. And then what you do is you in the bottom of it, you put a Nello wafer. You put a little Nello wafer, a little cracker cookie thing, right in the bottom of that mini cupcake paper, and then you mix it up the ingredients, and you just drop a little spoonful on top of that, and then I think it was in the oven just for 10 minutes or something crazy, and then it's done. And those were a huge hit. How simple is that? Nello wafers, and then a little cheesecake mix right above it. That and the black bean fudge was absolutely delicious. And there's one more thing that if I mention it, Jen's probably going to slap me because she can't have it, and it's one of her favorites, and that is, people call it different things, reindeer poop. Reindeer poop. People call it different things, but I think the gist of it is that you get some Chex Mix. Pour it in a bowl, and then you pour, I think, chocolate on it, and then you pour peanut butter on it, and then you sprinkle powdered sugar on it, and then you mix it all up, and it makes these little chunks of reindeer poop, and that is absolutely fabulous as well. I don't know how we got off on talking about Christmas party goodies.
Well, we started with vices, how we have our holiday vices, and then how we get rid of them. Meaning lose the weight after the holidays.
You're
gym
right.
Memberships always skyrocket right after New Year's.
Yeah,
good reason.
New Year's Day, we'll have this show a few days after New Year's, and be like, okay, how many of you are going on a diet this year and losing 25 pounds? Or maybe
25 pounds. Oh, my God.
And the 10 pounds that we gained over the holidays. Oh, my goodness gracious. So,
well, I know. I was thinking I've been eating all this rich food and food I'm not usually used to, Whisper. And one of my hosts had a scale, and I've actually lost a couple pounds, but I've gotten flabbier because I haven't been going to the gym. So at least I haven't been putting weight on and getting flabby. That would be a double slammy there. So I'm hoping to get through. This might be the first holiday ever that I actually get through it and not gain 3 to 5 pounds. That would be nice. That would be good.
See. We'll see. Yep, absolutely.
And I control my mouth.
I know. Wouldn't that be nice? It's like, oh, I don't really need that. Alrighty, hey, let's just say a real quick shout-out before we go to commercial break, and then we'll bring on Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Gotta love that. We've got B.A. Chick. We've got Bard Rock, Big Kenny, Bluegrass Mama, BYP386, Critter Lover. Dave's in there, Dragon Flyer. We've got East Dallas Dave. G-Mac, let's see, we've got several guests. Guests, if you'll take a moment to just take a moment to register and get your own screen name, then you can come on in and participate in the chat room. Kevin out in California, Moto Clown, Poet's Wife, Ralph, USMC Vet, KK4EFN, and we've got Vanessa and Walter and Woodcutter Ron. In the chat room. So thank you very much for tuning in. Guest, if you take a moment, promise it just takes a second, and you're not going to get spammed with email. Take a moment to register, and then you won't have to ever do it again, and we'll get to know you there in the chat room. Folks, you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and our guest today is going to be Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. We're going to be talking about fall tree planting, and we'll be doing that right after this short break. Stay with us. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, V-E-R-M-X-USA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex. Natural control of intestinal parasites.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com, or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Presenting the Clapper. Let your appliances turn on and off just by clapping.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off.
The Clapper.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Today's secret password is bedding. Today's secret password is bedding. Alrighty, Pat, you are back on live, and I'm going to go over here to the switchboard, and we're going to bring our good friend Richard Frudenberger on live as well. Richard, hope you're doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm glad to be here.
Glad you're here as well. And Pat, you're back live as always. And so,
welcome, Richard. Glad to have you on again, as always.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
Yeah, we always miss you when you're not here. And, of course, as you know, Pat's out there on the West Coast spreading the chicken love. And so to everybody out there on the left coast. So today, great topic. Still not too late for a lot of people across the country. Fall tree planting and all about tree planting. So get if you're going to get that pen and paper out, get it out now. And it's time to take some notes. And as always, I am a subscriber, and I have a hard time telling and suggesting our listeners to subscribe if I don't do the same. It's just a hypocrisy. So I subscribe to Back Home Magazine, and it's always a thrill when I get that in the P.O. box when I go to town. And you can also subscribe at backhomemagazine.com, backhomemagazine.com. And from there, you can subscribe, I think, online, or you can give them a call, and you will talk to a real live person here in America. Will actually take your order. So, and I guarantee you, it will be money well spent. So, alrighty. So we'll start the topic and we'll start talking about tree planting. I'll turn it over to you, Richard.
Yeah. This is a topic, like you said, it may be a little late, but certainly it's not too late to take notes and apply it for next fall if that's what has to happen. You know, I'm like a lot of people. I really got an education on tree planting sort of late in my life, and I always thought that the you know, the best time to plant's in the spring, and you dig a huge hole, and you buy the biggest tree you can possibly get because you get, you know, it's already started and it's already grown substantially, and so it'll take off once you put it in the ground. All those are pretty much fallacies. They're all wrong. There's been a lot more research done in the past 10 or 15 years than on tree planting and what happens when the tree is in the ground and transplanting and all that. And some of the high points there are that, or one of the biggest ones is that the tree roots are really far more important and far more extensive than previously thought. I don't think there had been a lot of research on anything beyond just the anchoring of the tree, and maybe some nutrient value that the roots bring, or nutrient-seeking value the roots bring. But I have just come across a couple of things in the magazine, just in, you know, reading articles and such when we prepare the issues, talking about tree roots. And I guess one of the most important things to remember is that the tree roots extend far beyond, in a healthy tree anyway, in a properly planted, and of course some trees are self-planted, they develop seeds that are just, you know, put in the ground naturally, but the tree root goes far beyond the drip line of the tree, and the drip line is the circumference of the leaves where overhead that the rain falling on the canopy there will drip off, and that, you know, that circle may be, you know, maybe 30 feet or 20 feet or 25 feet, whatever, but the tree root system extends far beyond that in a healthy tree, and also deeper than you may think, and it also is far more intricate. There are not just the main roots, but there are, you know, other branches from the roots, and there's miniature follicles that develop and just constantly seeking nutrients and water. And so they will strive to go far and wide and deep to do that. And there's I'll probably talk about it a little later, but there are some really good reasons not to provide too much access to that right there in the hole when you bury it, because if it doesn't have a chance to seek moisture and nutrients in its development, it's going to not anchor itself very well. If everything's right there, it's not going to be able to really sink into the ground, really go far afield, the root system, and go far afield and really bind the tree and anchor it firmly into the earth, and also get the nutrients it needs. So these are just things to remember.
Richard, I've got a question on that. I didn't realize that. But so would a strategy be to provide water or irrigation around like 5 feet or 10 feet out around the perimeter of the tree instead of right at the roots?
Well, it's not even that complicated. Basically, the old rule of thumb was to dig a really big hole and fill it in with peat moss and nutrients,
right,
and fertilizers and topsoil that probably was not from where the soil that the tree came. Maybe some of it was because you had to dig the hole, but a lot of times, like in a development situation, for example, where a nursery corporation will come in and just plant trees in a new housing development, for example, they'll bring that topsoil in from elsewhere, and it may not even be similar to the soil that is at the site. So
uh-huh.
That was the old school. Well, the new school is really just keep the whole minimal. It should be about 2 or 3 feet more than the root ball itself, more in diameter, altogether, and only deep enough so that the soil line on the tree trunk is just a bit higher than its natural planting. So really the holes are smaller. That forces the root system to really seek its own nutrients and own moisture, and that's really the game plan, because that's going to develop a really good root system there. So that's basically it. I mean, it's really not much more complicated than that, as far as the digging the hole and that kind of thing. I didn't really want to get into that right away, but we'll talk about that a little bit as we get on. But I think before that, I really wanted to talk a little bit about just choosing the tree and why are you even planting the tree, and if there's a specific reason, you may want to be more careful in your choice. So basically, a tree is not something that it's not a short-term thing. Ideally, people would think, well, gee, I'll just buy the hugest tree I can. And I have seen this. There's actually, I don't know what you call the machines, but there's nurserymen's machines that go on the back of trucks, and, big trucks that actually have huge shovel-like appendages, and they actually will scoop the tree out, an existing tree out of the ground, and be able to carry it in the back of the truck like that. And then when the backhoe actually digs a new hole, they'll just pop that root ball and tree and earth all right back into the hole. And at that point, the tree is just really sort of big to be transplanting. I mean, the point is to get them when they're medium or small, and that will allow the tree to grow to its fullest potential at the site, at its new site, or its permanent site. And also, choosing a smaller or a medium-sized tree is going to be a lot easier to plant than a larger one, because the root ball and the weight is not going to be so expensive. Not expensive, but well, also not as expensive, but expensive. There won't be a lot of dirt around that thing, so you won't have to break your back or whatever trying to get the tree in the ground. So you want to think about a tree's shape, how tall it's going to be, what it's going to look like in 20 or 30 years, what the purpose is. A lot of people, are planting shade trees, so that's legitimate. And there may be, trees for buffer, there may be trees for, fruit trees or whatever for production. Any other reasons, people may want a certain color of a tree or whatever to enhance the property value of their yard, the look of their yard, whatever. But you got to think about how it's going to develop. My own example is at my house, a tree was planted prior to my buying the house. some really nice hemlock trees, and they were just placed way, way too close to the house itself. I mean, at the time, it looked fine. I mean, they were a good 10 feet away or more, and as time went on, boy, that was a mistake. I mean, the root system is into the foundation. That graceful spreading arch is happening every place else except in the direction of the house. It's forming very nicely with these sweeping branches, but where the house is, all those branches are either dying dead or if they are alive, they're stunted and they're just being constricted by the walls of the corner of the house. So, you know, the bottom line there is I'm going to have to cut them out. And if they had been planted another 10 feet away or whatever, they would have been just really graceful. They look best when they're out in the middle of a field somewhere by themselves or maybe in a line, but not up against the house. It also provides pathways for critters, you know, squirrels, snakes, mice, and anything else you really don't want in your house to find their way. They normally don't do that, but if there's a few branches laying on the roof of the shingles there, they'll climb up the tree, walk out in those branches, and find themselves on the roof of the house and where it's nice and warm, and maybe find the way underneath the vents there and the ridge cap or whatever, and mice especially, and they'll just find their way right into the house, and they normally may not have been able to do that. So, you know, that's another good reason not to plant a tree too close to the house, other than the leaves and the debris and the moss and everything that may result on the shingles or the roofing material from that. You know, we talked about color, texture, you know, what the bark looks like. And so you really need to do a little research before you just go out and do an impulse purchase. Your local agricultural extension agent, some library or internet research, or even a local nursery. I mean, if you're going to buy a tree from a nursery, obviously they should be able to provide the service and knowledge that you may need to make a good, you know, make a good choice. And you have your mail order sources too, but you still have to know what you want before you buy. You know, I'll mention this here. I don't know how many people have this opportunity, but we, where I live, we have an annual forestry service, sort of a tree seedling day where you put your order in generally around this time of year, and then come spring they will provide you with little seedlings of, you know, a variety of species. I mean, we probably get 10 or 15 different varieties of native trees. And that's all they do, basically, but for a dollar or two a piece. And, you know, you get a whole bundle of them for, you know, $20 or so. And you know, they're all good, healthy seedlings, and you replant them yourself in the location of your choice. They're going to be natives, and they're going to be, unfortunately, they're only available in the spring here, but you know, that's not the end of the world. I mean, many people still plant in the spring anyway. I guess it's a good time also to mention transplanting. If you're not buying your tree, you may be looking in the forest or a neighbor's yard with permission, of course, or just in your own yard in a place maybe where there's a number of trees that are too thick and they're crowded, whatever, and you may want to thin them out a little bit, but you shouldn't be killing the trees you thin. You should be thinking about a place to replant them where they'll live a healthy and long extended, you know, future life in a different part of the yard. So the idea there when you're transplanting is to do some root pruning. So what you want to do about 6 months before you're actually going to move the tree, take a straight spade and slice down into the earth or into the soil on just two sides of the tree root area there, just two sides. And then before a month or 2 or 3 months before you actually make the move. So for the first two cuts are made at 6 months ahead, and now maybe 3 months ahead or 2 months ahead, you're gonna make two more cuts on the remaining two sides that you hadn't cut before, and you'll keep the soil moist, make sure it doesn't dry out, and those root cuts are gonna help that root ball curtail its growth. So you want it to sort of, because it's gonna be pulled out of the ground anyway, it's gonna sort of grow in the local area right around the trunk. So that'll make it easier when you're digging to, you know, to just uproot that whole ball. So that's if you're going to transplant a tree that's already in your yard or a neighbor's yard or somewhere else. One point I want to make about this is it may sound like a small thing, but mark the south side of the tree when you before you take it out of the ground. Just take a little ribbon, a flag, whatever, tie it to a branch on the south side of the tree, due south, so you know where to put that south side back in the, when you transplant the tree back in your new location, because it'll upset the nature of things to reverse the tree to put the south on the north side. Not a good thing. You want to transplant it in the basically the same direction it came out of the ground in your new location. So that's another point. And I know that's all a lot of information at one time, but that's, you know, these are all fairly reasonable and fairly easy to understand concepts. So it shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be too difficult. The other thing is the fall planting. I mean, why are we even thinking about it in the fall? Well, for most species, in most parts of the country, fall planting is actually a less stressful and better way to do it, because the main reason is that there is more soil, there's more moisture in the soil in the fall than there is in the spring. So the ideal thing is to plant in the fall. The moisture's there. The cool temperatures are not going to really affect anything too much, because this is a little late, and we're talking December 8th. I meant to talk about this, you know, back in October or November, but a tree planted in say October or early November will still have a lot of days in most climates, a lot of days above 40 degrees Fahrenheit, and if the temperature is above 40 degrees outside, and soil temperatures maintain that 40 degree level, the tree is still going to continue to grow. So the fall planting actually works out, you know, really, really well in most locations for most species. So that's, you know, pretty much the rule of thumb there, and it really does work out well in the fall. I just find it more pleasant to plant in the fall, because it's sort of I don't know what it's just everything else is sort of coming apart, and here you're or winding down, and here you're starting something new at a period in which everything else is sort of winding down. So it's sort of a little bit backwards thinking, but it's actually a little bit encouraging, I guess, for future life, future growth, and that kind of thing.
Richard, if you say it's a little too late, but in certain climate zones, I would think it would be fine.
Where I am, it's fine. We have not, we're getting cold evening temperatures, sub freezing temperatures, but for the most part, this would be okay today. I could do it. We're at 40, probably 52 degrees or something. That's fine, and we have nice moist soil now. We got a good time. So I think in many, many locations, this still even now would be okay.
Yeah. Well, where's the cutoff? If the ground is frozen like inches, 4 inches, is there sort of a rule of thumb saying, "Oops, too late, ground's too hard"?
Yeah. If you can't dig in it, if you've already had frozen soil from the evening temperatures, and you're experiencing freezing soil when you're going to dig the hole, that is too late. You know, right now I could put a spade in the ground, and even though there have been a couple evenings or a couple days, even daytime, where there have been below freezing temperatures, you know, briefly, really, a couple hours, it hasn't affected the soil. So, you know, if you get your spade in there, it's going to be okay. I mean, I don't encourage people to wait too late, but if you can dig a hole without having to chip through ice and, you know, and topsoil that's frozen, then you're reasonably okay.
Okay, well, that's a good rule of thumb then. So in a lot of places in the country, it's fine time to plant the trees, but not up in the north, not up in Michigan or Vermont.
No, it's, you know, by now it's just too late, and you're not going to give the tree enough time to acclimate to the soil, the air temperatures and the surface soil temperatures. You're not going to give the tree enough time to have a long enough stretch I wouldn't say mild, but above 40 degree temperatures for the period it needs to sort of, you know, get acclimated. So no,
Richard,
I wouldn't suggest. Yeah.
Would it matter if you go to a nursery and that tree's already been outside and say it's a bald and burlapped? Would that make any difference, container versus bald and burlapped, if you're buying from a nursery that's already, again, in your area?
Yeah, I think they're going to have moistened the tree enough in just maintaining it before it's sold that the freezing issue won't be an issue anymore. A local nursery will prepare the tree as needed for you to plant it locally. So, I mean, a scrupulous local nursery. I mean, somebody
right,
who,
right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, what they'll do is they will tend to that tree. They may mulch it. They may moisten it, or they will moisten it. They probably will mulch it or cover it somehow so those root balls will be, you know, will be adequately maintained.
Excellent. Great.
So now, Rich, I got another question, Richard. I got my backhoe here, and I just love to dig holes. Even if it's frozen, it's a little mad mole sometimes. Even if it's frozen pretty deep, I can dig a hole. Would it be okay if you get a bald tree tree, like from the Christmas tree, and they got that hole already dug? Could I just go ahead and still put that in the ground and backfill it high enough? Maybe so it wouldn't hurt the tree to plant it out. Or what should you do with Christmas trees?
I think if you were going to do that, you would be cautious in making sure that you were. I wouldn't overfill the hole. In other words, don't bring the soil up too high on the trunk. What I would do is I would plant it and treat it. You know, keep that soil line just where it would normally be. But then just mulch the heck out of it. Just cover that hole. Excavation area. Once you've finished the ball tree and put it in the ground and put the soil in and all that, just make sure you mulch that whole area very deeply and keep it moist if you're going to be doing it this late, because that's going to be all the protection it needs in the moderate climates to protect the newly planted tree in the soil.
Okay, so that's kind of what they do in the nurseries anyway, isn't it? They kind of heal the trees in and give them a deep mulch.
That's the reason they do it. They keep them wet, they keep them mulched for heat and moisture, and the last thing they want to do is to have them dry out, and that could be either lack of watering them or just the wind blowing. You know, a good strong wind will dry out even a bald burlap bald tree in a day. I mean, it just needs to be... needs to be good. So the key things there are, when you're planting, try to pick a day that's not too well. This late in the year, it's not so bad. But if there are sunny days, like in October, try to pick a cloudy day so you don't have direct sun, or at least do it in the late afternoon so you don't have the effects of that drying high noon sun, and make sure the ball or the root ball is moist. And you want to encourage that by a couple hours before you actually plant, water the tree and make sure the site is the hole where you're digging your hole there is a couple days beforehand. You want to make sure that planting site is soaked, well soaked with water, so the water has a chance to really absorb that soil. Just a couple, starting a few days beforehand, so you're nice and moist.
Okay.
You want to be sure that hole is first of all, you want to use when you're digging a hole, you want to be able to use that same soil over again to backfill. So the best thing to do really is to put a tarp down, or some form of drop cloth or something, and put the soil on the tarp so you don't have a lot of it. Migrating into the grass or the area around there. You want as much of it to go back into the hole as you can. So you lay your tarp down and you put any of the excavated earth on that tarp so you don't lose any. And the other thing is you don't really want to overfeed it because it's the growth and the feeding of the tree is sort of a long-term conservation measurement. So if you dump everything on them at once, you're not encouraging those roots to go out and look for new nutrients. So the main thing there is to dig your hole, not too deep, but like I said, a couple of feet larger than the actual root mass, and only deep enough so the soil line on the trunk is just a bit higher than it was, you know, where it came from. Now, if you bought one at a nursery, you don't really know where it came from, but you can sort of see the tree line there on the trunk or the soil line. But if you happen to dig dig your tree out from another location yourself, like from the forest or from a neighbor's yard or whatever, or your yard, you'll know, you know, where that is. The reason to keep the elevation up just a little bit is you don't want the you don't want the soil sitting in a soggy mass. You want the tree elevated just slightly so that there's enough drainage to keep those soil, to keep those roots out of a soggy, wet mass, but you don't want them too high that the tree isn't anchored. So the only thing I would suggest putting in there, you know, you're backfilling a little, maybe a little bone meal or rock phosphate into the hole, because that's going to sort of encourage, you know, encourage a little bit of settling in there, and it'll be a beneficial, but not an over fertilized situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you do want to make sure that the south side of the tree is facing south in its new location, and you want to let me see what else you want to do. The you don't want any of the root ball exposed to the air. Once it's planted, you want it all covered up with your native soil, the soil that came from the site, and you as I said, you want to keep the maintain the height of that tree just slightly higher than the plane of the earth or the level of the earth around it.
Richard, when you plant a tree, do you get in there and sort of stomp it down to get out those air pockets from around
yeah.
the roots?
Yeah, I do. Excuse me, I do. You know, that's sort of an old school thought, and it is important. From what I've learned, it's important to get the air pockets out because the roots have to have some soil to contact to be able to get in there. But I do not make the mistake of over watering or making a pool out of the hole just to get rid of the air pockets. It's really it's not so much you want more water, it's just that you want really more moist soil in there. So it's not so much even stomping. I mean you do have to press it
well,
into
not
the soil.
Stomping, just kind of firmly
yeah.
pressing down and
yeah, pressing
up
firmly,
and down a little bit.
Yeah, firmly pressing it in leaving the you don't want the burlap itself sticking out of the soil into the air, because that will actually wick moisture out of this hole and let it evaporate into the air. That actually is like a big wick. So you want to keep all that burlap under cover as when you do your planting, if you use a bald and burlap tree.
And of course, take the wire and the burlap bag off, right, the tree before you plant it.
Yeah, you can pull.
Some people have not forgotten that part.
Yeah, but you can loosen. I mean, you can leave the burlap in there, but you want to loosen it and direct those roots away from the. You don't want to encourage the roots to grow in a big circle, because that's what tends to happen when they're in a ball like that, and especially if they've been sitting in the ball peeled in at the nursery. What you want to do is loosen that burlap, straighten those roots out, and aim them outward in the direction of. Outward
mm-hmm.
direction of the drip line, and then you can keep the burlap in there, but just make sure it's buried, it's loose enough that the roots can get out, and that the burlap is definitely subterranean. It stays below the soil, and doesn't pieces of it don't stick up, corners don't stick up into the air so that they act as wicks. And that's essentially it. If you stuck it in the ground without loosening the burlap, the roots would just bind themselves into a huge circle, and the root system would never develop the way it was intended to develop.
Excellent. And take the wire off if it's got a wire cage on it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
sometimes
definitely
you got to use pretty much bolt cutters to get it off.
Yeah.
We've had to really struggle with that sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, what you're doing is obviously getting that burlap off there, loosening it up, taking that wire off, obviously. Pointing the tree in the direction in the south facing direction that it came from in the first place, and basically just filling around the roots with the native soil, filling it about halfway, and then you can add your water. So you're doing it in stages. Add your water, sprinkle in your bone meal, or rock phosphate, and then complete the backfilling in the same manner, and then soak. Now the soil is in there. There's no air pockets because you've sort of done it. You haven't done it in one huge you know, dump, like you're not taking a bucket from a backhoe and just making one or two dumps in there and then calling it done. You're actually hand placing or with a spade placing, you know, incremental amounts of soil so that there are no air pockets. And then once you've done it that correctly and filled it up completely, then you can add your water, more water, because it's not going to fill huge voids of airspace with water and flood everything out. There's going to be soil in there, so it'll moisten, and then you wobble the tree back and forth, and really try to avoid. You know, I know you didn't really mean stomping and mashing it, but you really try to avoid.
No, not stomping. I just push it down.
Yeah,
and that
push it in, firm it in.
Dirt around the soil.
Yeah, firm it in is the best term there. I think it's, you know, right, basically shaking the tree a little bit, make sure it's not going to rock. It's firmly planted, and then if you need to, you can put more soil on top, settle it out, and then you can put your mulch and such. But one thing I did want to mention is that a lot of people, this is another old school thing, a lot of people stake their trees, and that is not a correct procedure. It's been actually proven in agricultural studies silviculture studies that the younger trees that have been exposed to staking, which actually keeps them, you know, up in the early stage, obviously,
mm-hmm.
does not develop the cellular structure necessary to fend up the strong winds. In other words, it's being raised, it's being sissified, if you want to put it that way, and raised
sissified?
In a sort of, an artificial environment. And you know, if they're not exposed to tough life from the beginning, they're really not going to make it, or they may not make it through a heavy windstorm later on in life. So if they get, you know, bent over in the wind in their early life, just put them back in, you know, stick them back in, and they may make it, and they'll be better for it. You know,
well,
sounds sort of familiar,
well,
doesn't it?
Yeah, that does sound familiar. I've been doing is because some of these winds we get are so formidable, and then to have that tree, you know, blown over with its little roots exposed, I've been putting stakes and some ties on them, but they're pretty loose, so they can't go more than say 30 degrees any one way, at least until they get established. Would that still give the stress factor for them to be not sissified and manly versus versus getting blown over and wimpy?
Well, I think there it. With or without the stakes, all the loosely tied staking is going to do is prevent it from falling over completely when
right. A
big wind comes. So essentially, if you had not staked it and you kept an eye on it, it'd be the same thing. I mean, basically, if you had staked it loosely and then you looked out one day or after the windstorm and saw that it was leaning over as far as it could go and pull those ropes or the strings taut, you'd go out there and straighten it up. Well, if you hadn't done that, hadn't staked it, then it would probably be knocked over and you go out and straighten it up. So, you know, that's, yes, you are correct. It's just a matter of not having it completely heal over in the wind. And I would hope that you would be paying enough attention, you know, after a strong storm that you go out and look and see, gee, I better check to see how those trees are doing. You know, then you can put it back in right away, and it probably shouldn't have suffered any major effects, ill effects. So, the point is not to tie it down tight and expect it to develop into a well-anchored tree because the anchoring stakes and ropes are not going to let it do that.
Interesting.
That's amazing. Exactly. I was like, no stakes. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And on that note, we do need to take a break, and so it's about 12 past the hour. And we will – I don't know if there's any merit to this. I can't find anything on CNN or Fox News. Ralph2049 in the chat room said – just put in that there's been shots fired at Virginia Tech. And then someone put, oh, no, not again. So I haven't – I just went over to CNN and Fox to see if there's any – credence to that or if there's anything yet. I know it takes time versus going live TV and then getting a story to put on the internet, but so I don't have anything to base that on. So we're going to go to break. We'll see if we can't find any information about that. If anybody else out there finds information posted in the chat room. We're talking with Richard Freudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. You can see what they're all about at backhomemagazine.com. We're talking about planting trees specifically in the fall, but really can go all year round with this information. So we'll be back right after this short break to continue.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com.
That's myamishgoods.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Didn't see anything on CNN or Fox on their website. I know that takes some time for them to actually write something and put it up there, but a couple of folks saying it's on CNN and Fox News that apparently it was a shooting in a parking lot near the Coliseum, possibly one officer injured, and let's see, any other information that's going on in the chat room. So I asked if it was like in a dorm, in a classroom building, and apparently not that it makes it any less tragic, but parking lot apparently near the Coliseum. So I just wanted to get that information out to you if you are without news right now. And we are talking to Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Richard, you are back live, as well as Pat. You are back live. We've only got really about 5 minutes left, so we'll take that time if there's anything else on the list, Richard, to kind of wrap it up. Any last-minute details about fall tree planting?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I knew we didn't have that much time. Okay, let's just go down real quick some of the don'ts. Pruning. The leaves, you know, a lot of people, the old thought was to prune the leaves because the roots had been cut and the root ball had been smaller. The top visible part of the tree should be pruned to compensate. Well, that is totally ridiculous. I don't know. I don't even know why that made sense some years ago, but it is not true. Basically, unless a branch has been damaged in the planting, you shouldn't really prune anything immediately. The leaves are the photosynthesis mechanism for the tree. So they really, the more leaves there are, the more green leaves there are, the more the photosynthesis process will be enhanced. So you don't really want to prune anything. Other thing is wrapping the trunks. You know, sometimes people, you've seen the trunks are wrapped to prevent a sun scald. What that does is also encourage insects to migrate into beneath the wrapping, and you don't see them in there, and they can really do some damage. An option, if you really think that scalding from the sun is an issue or going to be an issue, you can always use a latex-based white paint to paint the bark. For that reason, and not wrap it, because if you wrap it, so the insects are going to get in there. The mulching is the most important thing, and you know, it's not, you can mulch with layers of bark or whatever you use for mulch, but one of the best techniques that actually works really well is to use newspaper. Maybe quarter inch, you know, many sheets of paper, you know, I don't know how, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 sheets of paper, lay newsprint, black and white, not color print, lay it in a circle around the newly planted tree with the soil at the level you want. Put your paper down first. If there's any sod left over, any of the grass, you know, if you had to remove a section of sod or grass to make the hole, lay that upside down so the grass is facing down and the earth is facing up. Lay that right on top of the newspaper, and then go ahead and mulch with your pine bark or your chips, whatever it is you're mulching with, on top of that little concoction there, and you can then water it down. Keep the mulch away from the trunk, a couple inches away from the trunk, so you don't have the sub mulch rodents and mice and such chewing on the bark. Leave a little opening there, a little exposure there, and and you can also put, a lot of people put a ring of hardware cloth around the trunk, so that it also keeps the pests away, you know, from the trunk itself. It's, you know, like a little collar that you can ring around, you know, a foot or so away from the trunk. The other thing is, you know, other than moisture, another good idea is for about 4 or 5 feet or 6 feet outside circumference of that tree trunk, get a fork, get a digging fork, you know, a gardener's fork. I found one a couple of years ago that I just absolutely love. It's a really good forged steel fork. Just aerate the soil for a distance of a few feet from around outside that planting area, because that's going to prep the future root zone It's going to aerate it. It's going to loosen the soil. It's going to just encourage earthworms and everything else, and that will sort of prep that soil away from the trunk for future growth. And that's a really good thing to do. And again, you know, water. You don't want the water standing there. You obviously ideally would have picked a well-drained area, but the more you can keep track of that watering and keep up with it if it's not raining out, if you get a dry season, the better off you're going to be, because that's really, once the tree's in the ground, there's really not a whole lot you're going to be able to do to encourage growth, except for control the amount of moisture if there's not enough. So, and I would suppose there are, you could probably overwater, just like you're babying the tree by doing some of the other things we talked about. You know, maybe overwatering in some of the drought conditions may be the same thing, but certainly you need to water enough to keep it alive and to keep it thriving. So that's that's really the most important thing.
Excellent.
What a bunch of
great information. Well, Richard, you are amazing. You know so much about so many things. And I thought I knew about planting trees in fall, but I've got three pages of notes here.
I didn't used to. I mean, I was always interested in it, and we were very fortunate. We had a silviculturist work for us some years ago, work on our staff here, and I learned a lot. I actually took a couple of workshops from him, and I just learned a whole lot about trees. And he was of the mind that, you know, he was a real harsh taskmaster as far as being a Darwin theorist. He said, if it ain't gonna make it, let it go. You know, don't spend your time or money on the weaklings. Just let them
Aww.
Go on. And you know, that was his theory.
Richard,
and, you know,
underdog tree, you're just gonna let it
struggle. Well, that's what he did.
That's,
of course, he was
a
professional
approach.
Nurseryman too. So I guess that's how you make money at it.
I like that. I like that comment, Pat. You were saying that Richard knows so much stuff. And when you said that, it kind of reminded me that, you know, maybe when the end times get here, I think I'm going to Richard's house. And,
yeah, me too. Let's all go down there. We're going to move in with you, Richard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, bring your gold coins and all your good tradable stuff in.
Oh, the only thing, I don't have any gold coins. I just use chickens for barter. You know,
okay.
You take the chickens for a couple bars of soap, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta love it. All righty. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today, Richard. We appreciate you as always. Great information. Lots of notes, I'm sure, we're taking out there in Radioland. Pat, thank you for joining us, taking time out on your day off of your busy book tour to come and join us. And we will be back here tomorrow. Again, Richard, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate
it. We'll see you in a couple weeks then for the next show.
Let's see. Actually, that's going to be a fun day, Richard, because on Thursday the 22nd, we're giving away our chicken coop for December, so that's going to be a huge day. So we'll probably do that. Yeah, it'll be a fun day. So we'll see you on the 22nd. Take care.
Okay. Good. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All righty. Very good. Let's see. Please join us tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And it will be Fun Friday. We'll have some prizes to give away. And, of course, we'll be issuing out another secret password. If you missed the secret password today, it was announced. But it will be put on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer, and on Twitter. So thank you so much for listening today. Thank Richard Frudenberger and Pat for joining us. Pat, take it away.
Okay, thanks, Whisper. Yeah, well, of course, our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners, thanks so much for you joining in and listening to us. Where would we be without you? BlogTalkRadio.com provides our radio, chat, and the video services. And, of course, Andy Schneider, the creator of the show, is the Chicken Whisperer. Andy, thank you for bringing us all together. I'm Pat Forman, and from all of us, may the flock be with you. Quoth the chicken evermore. God bless everybody. Bye.
Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.